to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore. We get together typically about twice a week, and we chat about what we've been chewing on in God's Word. We've been a little bit busy the last couple of weeks. We had an incredible opportunity that the Lord provided us where we joined together with another local church, and so we moved our offices. But the reason I bring that up, we've got Jamie Harms with us. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. Welcome again. Your delight, as always, to have. You were the last.
The last in the old place.
In the old office, the closet.
First in the new place.
In the first in the new place. So chronologically, this may not come out in sequence for you guys, but just know, for posterity's sake, I need you, the listener, to know that Jamie was the first and the last.
The alpha.
Okay.
Nice try, though. The last and the first is actually how it goes.
There we go. So, Jamie, you are... Actually, why don't you tell me what you brought in for us today?
Sure. Well, I figured we'd kind of wrap up some final thoughts on 1 John, as we have done that, just finished that up with the ladies, and I've still been chewing on different aspects of 1 John.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And you'd shared kind of the first half of kind of what was going on there. It was a Bible study, women's Bible study you guys were going through. Mm-hmm. Brianna was teaching it.
Yes.
And remind me, she did this curriculum for 1 John?
She wrote this curriculum.
She wrote this curriculum. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she spent time last summer and through the winter doing all of the studying and the writing. And then we were able to print it up and she's been teaching through it and it's been great.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where are we going this week?
Sure. Well, what we find with 1 John is it really cycles back on itself. And one of the opening verses, the verses that we memorized actually, was 1 John 1:5-7, which talks about we talk about God is light. That is our testimony. Mm-hmm. And then it ends, or towards the end, it comes back to testimony and just the idea of what is the testimony that we have been given and what do we testify to? Because in chapter 5, which is the final chapter, it says, "For there's three things that testify, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him to be a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son." And it keeps going. And so over and over, we started talking about, well, what is this testimony? What does it mean that God is light? What are we testifying to? And so that's what I thought we would talk about.
Yeah, we see light imagery show mm-hmm. up all over the place. Mm-hmm. The word testimony is pretty commonplace mm-hmm. in Christian circles. So there's probably a lot to unpack there.
Exactly. So when you think of Christian testimony, what do you think about?
Oh, man. Well, typically I think about your own personal salvation mm-hmm. story.
Yep.
I also think about in Revelation, it says the enemy will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. So those are kind of the two things my mind goes mm-hmm. to.
I think that's really common that we think of it as the salvation story that we mm-hmm. have, or sometimes maybe it's an experience that we've had that we get to share. And that's part of it, but it's not all of it. And we see it even from this passage. There's certain things that testify to who Jesus is. And in this passage, it talks about water, blood, and spirit, which is, you know, what in the world does that mean?
Yeah.
And why is it in a group of three? But if we look back into the Gospels, we see that it's when two or three witnesses, that is what creates a case in that culture. And so we see these groups of two and three things that are testifying to who Jesus is. So we've got the water, the blood, and the spirit. Want to take a crack at how those might be testifying to Jesus?
Oh, let me think. So water, we've got baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Blood, we have communion or the blood on the cross or atonement.
Exactly, all the above. That's all the above.
And the last one was spirit.
Spirit.
So Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Spirit and baptism, and his baptism too. We see mm-hmm. the spirit like a dove descending. And so we see these different aspects of water, blood, and spirit that testify towards Jesus. And then when we look in the book of John, which was written by the same author, he gives us a few more. He talks about in John 5:31-47, John the Baptist as being a testimony to mm-hmm. who Jesus is. The works of Jesus, so all the miracles and the things that we've seen. God the Father, specifically when we see the baptism and the Father is talking about the Son and the Spirit is descending, as well as the Old Testament scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so Old Testament scriptures are constantly pointing us to Jesus. And I think that's really cool how, as we study God's word, it starts to overlap with other things we've done. We just talked about feasts and covenant and all these things that point to who God is. But when Brianna was teaching, she actually mentioned two aspects of testimony in the Old Testament I had never thought of that point us to Jesus.
Okay.
And so there's two things in the Old Testament that are referred to as the testimony of something.
Okay.
Any guesses?
Two things?
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, no. Let me
think. Exodus.
Okay. Testimony.
I'll give you a hint. One of them was given on Mount Sinai.
The Ten Commandments?
The Ten Commandments. Okay. The tablets of the covenant are also called the tablets of the testimony when you read it in Exodus 31. And that testimony is that witness between two parties that makes a covenant.
Yeah.
And so we see testimony in that regard in a God-initiated covenant where the people were then to preserve and pass on that covenant piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is related. And I hadn't heard of it in this context, so I was curious if you could think of a second one. If not, I'll give you the answer.
Let me think. Well, initially, my thought came to the Shema in Deuteronomy, you know, teach your children, bind them on the forehead, yada, yada, yada. But I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
So the second one is actually the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh.
It's also called the Ark of the
Covenant. No kidding.
It is. And there's three items in the Ark. So 1, 2, 3, once again, we've got those three different elements. There's the tablets of the testimony, which was from the covenant. There's manna, which testifies to God's provision and goodness. And there's the staff, Aaron's staff.
Yeah, the budding staff.
Mm-hmm, which really demonstrates God's power and his intentionality. And so those different things are part of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. Where was the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony kept?
In the temple.
In the temple. Yeah. Where in the temple?
In the Holy of Holies.
In the Holy of Holies,
yes.
Behind the veil, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the testimony for the people of God was in this special holy place that they didn't have access to but through a priest.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jesus died on the cross and that veil was ripped in two. And all of a sudden, the testimony of God in his covenant relationship everybody had access to it.
Right.
And so we become the testimony of who Jesus is because we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. We have that call to preserve and pass on that knowledge of who God is and the relationship that we have. And so it ends up being this amazing thing, realization really of the weight of what we have been given.
Yeah.
And what our responsibility is to be the testimony of who Jesus is.
Yeah. Well, I think about, too, how the any examples of the gospel in scripture that I can think of off the top of my head, you know, and like Paul summarizes the gospel, the resurrection is always a piece of that, how that was a testimony of God's intention towards his people, how he was doing it, the veracity of Jesus. And so we get to share that message, not just of the atonement of our sins, but the magnitude of the God that we serve and what he's done in history and preserved inside of us in his word.
Well, we are that testimony of his character. Mm-hmm. And as image bearers, we are to reflect that character to him. So yes, there we see his love and his pursuit and his atoning sacrifice and all of that. And we are to then turn around and be those messengers of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And to demonstrate what it means to love others like God loved us, and to love sacrificially, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. All of these different things that we see in the life of Jesus, we get to reflect to others as part of our testimony.
So there's a very strong ethical piece that's attached to this, it sounds like, in terms of how one ought to live and behave in connection with your testimony. We often reduce it to a story that we tell.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is this is attached also to the ethics of how we behave, how we interact, our relationships. And we see over and over in scripture how emphatic it is about do not be a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You're going to spoil this thing.
Indeed. Well, and the whole point of, well, not the whole point, I guess. One of the main points of 1 John is what does it look like to walk in the light as he is in the light? So it's not just this one-time event and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's this daily, how do we abide with him so that we can walk in the light and reflect his character accurately?
Yeah.
Be his testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what an important piece. And we, I mean, it's not at all hard to wonder what kind of testimony the world thinks of when they think of the church. I mean, most people have you know, very negative things to say. Mm-hmm. I think...
well, we don't do it very well sometimes.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I do think that we... It's a very nuanced and like layered thing. Like there's a spiritual aspect where the world is opposed to the church. Mm-hmm. So that's inevitable. And we have done poorly because we're humans too. And so there's that piece that sometimes gets missing of, I like the analogy of a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints.
Yes.
Kind of thing. But all of that, you know, isn't an excuse or an scapegoat for us to behave according to the flesh. I mean, how consistent is that a theme through scripture?
Exactly. And it's not that people are going to hate us, so we might as well just do whatever because they're going to hate us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's to major on the majors and minors on the minors, you know, and they are going to be frustrated. The world is going to be frustrated with us, but it better be frustrated with us for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, when we can focus our mind on the importance of abiding in Christ, it becomes very... It strips away a lot of the, at least maybe intellectual or of other pieces that may be barriers for us, where we can go to scripture and go, okay, how did Jesus handle people who hated him? Because they hated him,
yes.
You know, and we all have people who maybe, you know, give us a hard time or really struggle with relationally. And I don't know that, I don't think I have anyone who hates me. Certainly not the way they hated Jesus, at least.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as like abiding in Christ, who is that light and that testimony, going, okay, how would he handle these things? So what would you, what's your one takeaway that you've got from?
Well, to tie in with your whole, the world hated Jesus and so forth, I think sometimes part of that hate is also come from misunderstanding, where they just misunderstood him and they're going to misunderstand us. But it is our job to preserve and pass on as that testimony of who Jesus is, the knowledge of who God is to others. And that requires abiding. And so it starts with, what does it look like to walk in the light each day? Are you in God's word? Are you in prayer? Are you with others? In community? Are you serving one another? And that sounds like a checklist.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be. Those are just the fruits of what happens when you abide.
Yeah.
And so in doing so, we preserve and pass on to others that gift of the gospel.
Yeah. And there is such a necessity for intentionality because it's so easy, so easy from day to day or week to week to be, you know, on cloud nine 1 week and you're like, I am walking with the Lord. I'm feeling good. I'm walking, you know, I'm walking according to Jesus' character and honoring God. And then the next week, you know, you get to the end of it and you're like, this week has sucked. I've had a terrible attitude. And then you go, oh, I haven't read my word at all this week. I haven't spent time in prayer. Again, not as a checklist, but as a means of cultivation and submission.
Well, it kind of recenters you. And so there's a practice that I've done at various points in my life called praying the hours, where you stop every couple hours and you spend about 5 minutes just kind of praying and reading through Psalm. And it's amazing how just that discipline of stopping regularly refocuses your perspective on the day.
Yeah.
And your perspective of others, because you have right perspective with God. We have to see God as he truly is to see us.
And I think it cultivates an affection for those things.
It does.
It kind of grows exponentially. You do, the more you do it, the more you have a real affection for getting in his word and praying. So you start out and you're like, and then before you know the Spirit's working on you, you're like, all right, this isn't too bad.
Yes, you're right.
Well, that sounds like it's been a really wonderful study you guys have gone through. Has there been anything noteworthy discussed or anything that anyone shared in the group that's worth sharing or? Can be shared?
Oh, lots of stuff. I think it's just, it's a gift to be able to go through all of those little nitpicky things maybe that we're wrestling with through our day in a safe place with other women and say, well, what does that look like to walk in the light in this given circumstance?
Yeah.
If it's I'm working with or interacting with a family member that's particularly hard or somebody who isn't a believer, and what does it mean to love another brother or sister of mine if we disagree on different things from anything, you can pick whatever that is. And so I think that just the value of being able to go through God's word together is huge.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the biggest takeaway and gift because we get to learn to walk in the light together.
Yeah.
And to course correct each other along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so essential. Mm-hmm. So essential. This was not a, what's that saying? It's not a solo sport, or it's a team sport, something along those lines.
Yeah,
sports ball.
There's no I in team, something like that.
There you go. Yeah, I'll take that.
No, we don't walk this life with Jesus by ourselves.
Yeah. Yep. It's very important. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you sharing and giving us insight into what's happening in women's ministry, and especially with something that we, you know, we had a hand in making and kind of creating that curriculum and stuff. That's always fun to learn about. And hopefully for you guys at home, this has been encouraging and a challenge to remember to abide in the Lord actively, that it is by His Spirit that we have the luxury to do that, but we still are called to submission, and He's faithful to meet us there and encourage us in our hearts. So we will get you guys then on the next one. All right. Bye, Jamie. Bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.